Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fadero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Hey, baby, they come.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 192. Here, as always, with the feverish Fanero.
What's up, Swags? How are you? Good. We're without Dave, and I know he sometimes joins the show shirtless or in his birthday suit, so I decided to show up without any trousers on.
Oh, I love it. Like a drummer. Dave today. I just wanted to come in, though it felt like so old school. And no disrespect, Dave. We're going to miss you this evening. It just like so many episodes of saying, here, as always, with the feverish Fanero. Even Dave probably notices sometimes, like, coming into the show, I'm troubled of, like, how to smooth the next part out. I'll work on it, Dave. Dave's doing something tonight. Graduation party or, like, stuff. Like, but he's not going to prom, to be fair. Like, Dave's a teacher, and he's going to be there as a responsible adult. And that's so stupid, Dave.
Making sure nobody spikes the punch. Do kids still spike the punch?
Dude, I bet it's worse now. Like, you have to make sure, like, ironically, you're, like, checking for Tide balls and...
Oh, shit. Weird crap really?
Now, like, no, I don't know.
Tide balls.
I hope not. I hope we don't offend any younger listeners. Congratulations.
Happy prom.
Yes. So we're going to do some free... agents, some undrafted free agents, some sleepers, some stashes.
It's funny, like I feel like we've been talking about this rookie class so much that about how it's so top heavy, and you know, by 205 you're kind of out even in super flex. Like, it's just like, oh man, I just kind of want to move on. And yet I seem to have more buzz in late rounds and UDFAs than anything. I feel like that hasn't calmed down a bit. There's names. I just tried to drop somebody a third for one of these guys on our list. A third round pick. That doesn't mean much. 2022.
I'm assuming.
Yeah. 2022. And
let's start with that. Look, you're teasing me here.
He responds with, "You're the third person that has come after this player for exactly that, a third round pick."
Hold on. I think I'm. Can I guess then?
Yeah,
the listeners are guessing. I think you're talking about Jared Patterson.
That's not true.
Wow.
No. I feel like I'm on an island with Jared Patterson, to be quite honest. I own a lot of Jared Patterson.
Is he cool? Like,
what's that?
Is he cool? Like, you're on an island with him. Like,
he's very cool, dude. Like, all you need is Jared Patterson and you'll survive. You don't need fire. You don't need food. Just Jared Patterson.
Who's the secret player?
I don't think it's a secret. I think the secret's out on Javian Hawkins. Hmm. I feel like everybody wants a piece of Javian Hawkins. They see that that depth chart over there, and they aren't afraid of Mike Davis and his thunderous thighs. And they're just thinking, you know what? Like, this dude's got a shot, like a legitimate shot this season to at least share a role, and if not share one, you know, maybe a 50-50 split.
Love it. So you offered a third.
I offered a third, and I was told that I was the third person to offer that, and was
third,
denied.
Like, you're the third person to actually, like, yep. Similar offer?
Yep, and was denied.
Wow.
I certainly wasn't going to offer much more than a third. He did draft him in the fourth. He was not picked up on waivers, so he did draft this player. Obviously drafted him for the same reasons we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to see it play out. And a third just doesn't move the needle for him. I get it. But, you know, anytime you can change a fourth into a third, I think that's a pretty good move.
Right. It's pretty appropriate.
But
I
get it. I do. I mean, if anything, you know, there's more talk and more turn, more time to gestate over that and think, you know what, I kind of like having this guy on my team. So
does it make you wish that you would have just said screw it coming out of the season and maybe offered your 2022 thirds for 2021 fourths?
I don't know if I'm going there.
Well, that's what you offered him.
Yeah. But I don't think I would do it proactively. I think it's kind of a target now that sure. I'm interested in. And oddly enough, dude, like seriously, like we just glossed over Jarrett Patterson, which I'm on an island with.
Oh, we'll get back to him. I want to go. Yeah. I want to get on your island.
the thing is, I like him more. And I just don't feel like that's anywhere near consensus. I don't think anyone's really talking about Jarrett Patterson. And when I say that, I'm not trying to say I'm special. If anything, I'm probably wrong. But his college production, dude, just he's in the MAC. I get it. He's not in the SEC. But for me, like he had 1,000 yards every single season. His sophomore season, he had 1,800 rushing yards. Not all.
We're on Patterson now, right?
Patterson. Yep. Yeah. And then last year in a shortened season, he had 19 touchdowns in just 6 games.
Yeah. You know why they're not talking about him though, right?
Why?
You know, it's that one guy.
It's that guy?
Antonio Gibson.
Oh yeah, it's definitely that guy.
That's why they're not talking about him so much. But he's a reason I think that it's perfect timing to be talking about Patterson. And I'm surprised that more people aren't, to be completely honest with you.
Maybe that's what it is, Fives. I think you and I have, you know, for better or for worse, have been able to kind of identify these running backs a little ahead of consensus and kind of say, you know, I get it. I've seen what they've done, or I know where you're all are coming from. I'm just not that guy. You know, Gibson is a little different than the Keyshawn Vaughns we've been able to pluck off because of the production. But if you look at it, it certainly wasn't consistent. It down the stretch, and then he had this really big boom games too. I think Thanksgiving he had 3 touchdowns. So that when you look back at stats and you look back at numbers and you don't throw the context in, he looks really good.
Well, so week 12 you're talking about, he had those 3 touchdowns.
Yeah,
those
right.
were his big game. Those were his last touchdowns of the season.
Yeah, I believe it. Yep. And again, like, and I hate to do this because when I revisit my own narratives, and I'm not talking about consensus, but my narrative coming in is that Gibson was not the plan. You know what I mean? That was the backup plan. That was the I think he was a third round pick. Is that right? Mm-hmm. He was a player.
They still had Geis in that moment.
Right. And Geis was the starter. I mean, it wasn't yep. competition or anything like that. And then shit hit the fan. Geis is out of the NFL. So, you know, Washington didn't run out and draft a guy. So that means a lot. I'm not going to try to lie. And all these UDFAs, right? Half the battle is making the team. We're not trying to say that these guys are right. James Robinson, right? We're not doing that. What we are doing, though, is we're trying to identify 2, 3, 4 guys that have a shot to make the team. And if they make the team, there's enough opportunity there or holes. And I think with Gibson, that is that. I think Gibson's perfect role would be actually a third down back. I think he'd be like one of the best third down backs in the league.
Yeah. No, he's very consistent in the passing game.
So the thing I like about Jarrett Patterson over a Hawkins who we just got off from was the size. Hawkins is a little dude, man. Like, he's about the size of one of Mike Davis's quads. Like, he's not big. Like, he's 180 pounds. And this is the guy who's supposed to be, quote-unquote, back to JV and Hawkins. Sorry, just so everybody knows, I'm switching back and forth between these two. This is, quote-unquote, the next James Robinson, if there's going to be one, is JV and Hawkins. And James Robinson is 220 pounds. He's 40 pounds heavier than Hawkins.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's
you
got huge.
Yeah, and for me, you got to be, like, you have to be in the 90s. I prefer you to be, you know, 210, 215. Now, Patterson, back to Jarrett Patterson, my boy on the island, he's about 200. I think he's listed to 198.
I just want to be on your island. Like, how did you get there? Like, can I get on, is it a rowboat?
Oh, no, dude, yeah, no, you can totally.
I'm going to build, like, a raft. It might not be as nice as yours, but I'm going to get there.
We have transportation available. We're welcoming anyone who wants to come over nice. To the island because honestly, it's lonely here. There really aren't a lot of visitors. there really aren't a lot of people that even know who Jarrett Patterson is, let alone want to visit him. And I think it's a mistake. I really think that he showed a ton in college at Buffalo. And I love that he came out, you know, after his junior year and he didn't play all four seasons. I love that he had almost 4,000 yards in those three seasons he played. I love that he averaged 7.6 yards per carry, never had less than 1,000 yards per season.
Yeah,
there's a lot to like. There really, really is. And I think he's got just the right size. I wish he was a little bigger, I'm not going to lie. But Hawkins scares me. That size, I mean, the most you're ever hoping for is an outlier satellite back to him.
And
that's the most you're hoping for.
Mike Davis did pretty good in his role last year when McCaffrey was gone. And obviously Gibson did well last year, too. So I'm not trying to say that, but
to your point, Mike Davis was RB12 in some formats and RB1 and a high end, maybe RB15, 16 in other formats, right in that range.
Yep.
59 catches last year, Swags. Mike Davis.
I got Patterson at 504 in a draft very recently.
Nice.
And today, actually, quite honestly.
Oh, really? Like, oh, yeah. Sweet.
Two drinks was in that draft. It felt really good. I kind of was surprised that he was there. It's a draft that I don't have a lot of picks, and I've just kind of been kicking back and trying to enjoy drafts this year, so I wasn't paying a ton of attention to this one. So I would have probably tried to trade in. And actually, he picked in front of me at like 502 or 503, and I offered him I have a 512. I offered him my 512 and a fifth in 22, a fifth in 2023, because I wanted to move up, because for some reason I felt like he was going to be the jerk to snipe me on Patterson. But then Patterson ended up falling to me anyway, and I got him there, and I kind of felt like it was a little late, a little disrespectful, to be honest with you.
Fifth round. Fifth round's nice.
I could see him like easily carving. I don't want to say easily. That's silly. I could see him hypothetically easily carving out a role like in that offense with McKissick and what's there, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't think Antonio Gibson is necessarily that back of the future for the team. The what's really too bad is that people want to label him as like the next McCaffrey, and he can be very good and very viable without being McCaffrey, but I think you're expecting a lot out of that. So.
And honestly, dude, that's the second step, right? The second step is that he carves out a role, that he, you know, does that as early as this season. Those are all really like wishful things. But the thing that I'm almost certain of is that he makes the team. And that's exciting. If you have a running back, potentially the backup running back to Gibson in the fifth round.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's value. And now if you believe in McKissick and you think that he's going to be on the team.
And then you have the toe injury with Gibson.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Even if he goes down, you know, you're looking at these opportunities and roles. And I mean, that fifth, like you mentioned, trying to get Hawkins for that third.
Right.
I can probably change that fifth to a third within a few weeks, quite honestly. But then even more in the season, if something bad happens, and I don't want that, but.
I was going to ask you, like, you made me think of something. So let's say he makes a first pass the first step, right? So Jarrett Patterson off the island onto the mainland. He's on a team. There's a little bit of talk. We're starting to see some footage from camp, right? Somebody comes to you now. You drafted him for a fifth. Now you thought he fell to you in the fifth, so maybe you thought he was worth earlier than that. But somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, you know, Swagzilla Zero G, I'll give you a third for that guy right now." What are you doing now? Do you feel like he's accrued value on your team, and you want to see the rest of that value go up, or are you like, "No, man, I'm flipping that fifth into a third right now as a UDFA"?
So the big reason this one's tough for me is the shade that I want to put in to Antonio Gibson, and some of it's probably not quite fair. But what you said there, I mean, even if he does get hurt and but to change a fifth into a 2022 third that quick, is a pretty quick turnaround. And if I can go fishing in the fifth, I feel like I can go fishing in the third. But you just never know. I feel like that's a tough one. I think what I'm really doing is I'm countering you with a 2023 third, and my player for your 2023 second, and seeing if you bite on that. I'm going to go further out and get a little bit away and get into a draft class I'm a little bit more excited about.
I like the year out. That helps, because if you try to do that in the same year, I think the person's probably out at that point. They probably thought they were overpaying with a third to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But going a year out and taking into consideration that we're kind of sniffing at 2022 and not really liking what we smell, and maybe more interested in 2023.
Yep. This person already wants my Patterson.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I could see that happening. And I don't honestly, think I would do it.
Your team is not so good or so bad that Patterson is going to make or break it. You know what
exactly,
I mean? At this point,
right.
If that fifth rounder was going to be your savior for your team, like it sucks anyway. Like go to 2023 and try to get those picks that might be better. And on the flip side, if your team is good enough to not care about somebody like Patterson, which hopefully 12 teams in your league are good enough to not worry about Patterson. Really, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, sure.
So if your team is good enough to not have to worry about Patterson, also go to the future where you can make your team better then instead of worrying about it now, because that's, I think, part of how you have that competitive rebuild is knowing when your team's good enough to need the picks and when you can get them a little earlier versus having them now and wasting them on equity that won't get used maybe because your team's so freaking good.
Sure. No, that makes sense. I like that. I like that move a lot. But, and it's obviously this is predicated upon a few things happening.
Right.
Again, him making
narrative
the team.
Street, and, totally.
Yeah, yep. I created all that. Let me just throw in that this is the last year McKissick is signed with the Washington Redskins. They could move on from him very easily with virtually no dead cap hit because he's not paid much. I mean, this is just a guy. Let's be honest. I mean, McKissick last year became somewhat relevant out of the blue, like just kind of. I don't remember the last relevant year he had, to be quite honest, and I don't know if I would call last year relevant either. But when you're talking about that, I think there's more room on this roster than is perceived. And I think like you had said, I think the Gibson thing is at least debatable. I don't think it is all summed up yet. I think the only thing that kind of points in that direction again is they did not draft a running back. And that's the kind of stuff I do pay attention to. So that is a little concerning. But with that being said, Patterson was immediately signed by the Skins when the draft was over. So that's something as well. Anyway, it could just be a depth move for them, but depth moves sometimes turn into players. Like, so I don't know. I think it's somebody that you can get real cheap. Like you got him for a fifth round pick, and maybe we're talking about him too much. But it's somebody that I think needed a voice, as you like to say.
Well, and he went to high school with Chase Young, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was a big push to get him on the team.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
So that could help a little bit, too.
That's very cool.
Somebody that I want to mention before, I don't know if we'll probably mention some more running backs, but this one I think is a deeper dive, and he might be available on your waiver wires. So CJ Maribel. Older guy, comes into the league at 24. You know, I do have some concerns. Complete flyer. Like, there's a reason he's on waiver wires. Outside of, like, knowing the name because of, our, like you said, our Rookie Fever player profiles, like, one thing that caught my weird brain was the timing of that signing was just within that same week that the very unfortunate event to Tariq Cohen and his brother passing away.
Mm-hmm.
And then they quickly kind of signed somebody that could take that role or somebody kind of similar to Tariq Cohen, to be completely honest with you. These things are really serious. Sometimes you don't know like how everybody's going to handle these kind of things emotionally. Like even like look at Joe Williams, for example, like people like to shit on him and say how the 49ers wasted that pick and he was a bust. But full disclosure, like his sister died. He had huge emotional problems with it. He went back home to help the family out, changed the direction of his life. He never got back into football. You just never know. So the signing of this was very close to that unfortunate event. I hate to like compare it to that for those reasons, but real stuff. That's when it happened. I think that they're a similar comp. I don't really like comps. We haven't seen him in the NFL, but he's probably on your waiver wires today for free if you have a spot. You know, don't just drop somebody, but if you can move him and then get him to your taxi squad, something like that, and see what happens, I think it's worth looking into.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him up too, because when we did the profile with Matt, we talked about him probably doing his career path being exactly what it is, that he probably wasn't going to get drafted. He probably was going to be UDFA, but he would be quickly signed. He wasn't as quickly signed as I think most people had hoped. It did take like the events that you just talked about, but I like the spot. I like the fit. I hope everything's okay with Tariq Cohen.
Right. Absolutely.
So not hoping for,
and there's not a lot of depth on that roster at the position either.
Right.
David Montgomery's exactly. The lead back, but after that, there's not a ton.
Yeah, and teams carry running backs. You know what I mean? They're it's a volatile position for injury. So, like, for me, it's one of those ones where, you, especially with a deep league or taxi spots, like you had said, you want to stash these guys for the what if, because they talk about a return. Sitting on, conversely, which, because I'm only going to bring up one tight end tonight, even if we get to him. That's a tough stash. If you're going to put a UDFA tight end on your roster, you got to be prepared for the next 3 to 4 years to have literally nothing yep. to look forward to. So that, for me, is an unlikely pickup. I have to really like a guy or have just a super, super, super deep roster to put a tight end there.
Two tight end sets, maybe.
Yeah, something like that, right?
Those are the leagues that I'm looking for those guys in.
Yeah, you have to. A couple leagues
I'm even in with you that I've looked and seen what's available and who's became the undrafted free agents at tight end, and makes me look into those guys a little bit more, which is one reason we always advocate like checking out some of these different style of leagues, because even though somebody like me has been on this show and I've said I don't like the two tight end leagues a whole lot, but it has broadened my horizon. It does make you go out and farm your tight ends differently. You almost have to. That's what I hate about it, though. Like, I think like in Predators, dude, we're allowed 35 roster spots and we can only taxi our Devy players. 35 roster spots. I think that's a fair amount of roster spots, by the way, but I'm just explaining my team. I think I have 13 tight ends.
Wow.
And dude, not that many of them are good. So I have 13 players, like 33% of my team, more actually, dedicated to a position I don't even really enjoy.
Yeah. And it's for that reason. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you that the two tight ends is definitely overkill to trying to make the tight ends valuable. It just gets a little crazy. I don't think too many people enjoy it, to be quite honest.
Sounds fun the first time you do it.
Yeah. And I like different formats and all, but going back to why I brought up the tight end, running backs like CJ Maribel, they're nice stashes, right? Mm. Because you can see a quicker path to, like, I just gave you a scenario where I turned your fifth into a third.
Yeah.
You know, before the season started.
Yeah.
You're never going to get that with a tight end. And wide receivers, honestly, man, on some of these depth charts, that's just as long of a wait.
Yeah.
It really is. You could be talking 2-3 years and then you're holding on to that guy. What's a roster spot worth?
Yeah.
You know, but a running back, this is when I'm picking up these guys.
No, because it gets tough too sometimes, because then you hang on to those players for a year or two, and then you get to the point where you've got to make cuts. And I'm the person that's like, but what if it's right around the corner? Like, what if I drop him and it finally happens? Right. Everything I've been, not even everything I've been waiting for, but something. Sure. What if it starts to happen and now I'm the guy that dropped him? Like,
yeah. And you're talking about fear of missing out. There's also like just the feeling of, well, why did I hold on for 2 years then? You know, who did I not pick up because I held that guy? You're like pot committed to a guy that you've had on your roster for 2 years.
Yep.
You know, all my Miles Boykin shares are gone after this year. They're all gone. I'm done. So I held Miles Boykin. I've talked about him with you on this show, on other shows.
Then even the flip side it, like, how many offers, and this isn't necessarily towards you, how many offers did you have for somebody like CJ Procise while you were waiting for him to hit that you wish you accepted?
Sure.
So then there's that side too, where what is the ceiling value versus what you can get now? So why not take that second or third and minimize your risks a little bit?
Right. We just talked about offline. We talked about a player, Chase Edmonds. Same exact thing.
Yeah.
You know, I know right now I can get a second and third for Chase Edmonds. And you had said, yeah, no, dude, I agree with you. Like, start of the season, couple good games, maybe his value does tick up a little bit. But I don't know. Does it tick up that much? You know, is he really going to be the guy? The history would tell you no. History would tell you that James Conner's probably going to fill the same damn role that Kenyon Drake did, and he might have the same damn role he had last year. And I know the offense is sexy, and you hope for something more, but this is
could
three
get
seasons
hurt in the preseason, and nobody's even interested anymore. Yeah. There's that worst case situation. Yeah. You might not even get a chance to see it.
Yep, exactly.
Doug really Martin, like how many points. People out here listening wish you traded away Doug Martin at some point in his weird career where he was good he every third year?
I still remember that 50-point fantasy game he had. We digress. We're all the way back to Doug Martin. I took us back to Chase Edmonds, which I don't even know how far back I went, and now we're at Doug Martin. All right, give me another name. Give me another name. Give me another name that you definitely want people to.
We both wanted to talk about Sage Surratt.
Oh, I love that you went there because I the Detroit Lions, three wide receiver UDFAs. Three. You got Jonathan Adams Jr., Arkansas State, Javon McKinley, Notre Dame, and Sage Surratt, who I know you want to talk about out of Wake Forest. What do you like about Sage?
I mean, I like his size. I honestly think he can. I don't like a lot of the weapons we have on that team. I'm not a Breshad Perriman guy.
I like that.
Williams, like who's on that frick? It's my team, and I don't even care about anybody. You know what I mean on that team.
Quinton Cephas, Terrell Williams.
I kind of don't mind Cephas, and then I'm still into Amon-Ra.
Yep.
I think people have kind of cooled off a little bit on him. You might be able to get him a little bit easier. I almost wish I waited a little bit, but I'm still a buyer. And then in comes Sage Surratt. He didn't play last year.
Yep.
Ended the year before in 2019 early with a shoulder injury.
Yep. It's been a while since he's played football.
Yeah. So I think that that's kind of one reason he slipped through the cracks a little bit too, though.
I agree.
That's another like plus side for me. Like, kind of like we've talked about with Nico Collins, didn't play last year, fell in the draft. I kind of think the same thing with some of these guys, and I think it's worth noting, and I don't want to hold it too much against them, you know? So he's on a team that I thought would be picking somebody else up or something. I've been waiting for, like, something weird to happen, like Preston Williams get cut and end up in Detroit, or I don't know. Oh, wow. Something's got to give somewhere, but this might just be it.
If this is it, And it could be. I think you're right. But there's also opportunities like you had just mentioned, which I liked, by the way. I like that mention on Preston Williams. But not all three of these wide receivers are making the team. There's not going to be three UDFA wide receivers.
I agree. Yeah.
Right. So I just want to mention one to the guy who lives in Michigan, who's looking at Sage Surratt and saying, you know what? I like this guy. I like his size, 6'2", 209 pounds. He can high point the ball. Boy, does Detroit like those kind of guys. He reminds me actually a lot of Quinton Cephas. There's another guy, Jonathan Adams, that I'm actually starting to look more and more into.
And that's probably his competition for that.
Yeah, I think
last
it,
spot.
I really think it is. Yep. He was best in college football with 23 tough contested catches and second on 15 deep catches only to Devontae Smith last year. A couple little nice stats.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a big vertical guy. So you want to talk about somebody that just jumps up and gets it. So he could be one of those guys that maybe Detroit's like, you know what? He's the guy we can throw it to in the end zone. And our other guys are smaller. We'll stick with Jonathan Adams. He gives us something different that Quinton Cephas doesn't give us, that Surratt doesn't give us. I think they would love to keep all Surratt and Adams. I'm going to say that they wind up keeping Adams, and Surratt is actually the guy that hits the pavement. But we'll see, because there's a lot to like about Surratt. He was a semi-finalist for the Blitnikoff Award when he was healthy, and I think it was like 2018. So I could be dead wrong, but I'm going to put a couple chips in on Jonathan Adams, because I feel like not enough people know or are talking about him. And I think that would be a fun ad for you guys. Just a nice vertical threat guy.
Yep. And these guys are the kind of guys that maybe if they do hit, that I think you would want to move on from. And
yes,
you know
yes,
what I mean. So you don't.
Yes, hell, dude, I might move on from Amon St. Brown if he hits.
Yeah,
to be honest,
depends on how he hits. But yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I hear that. I do.
But you're all over it. Yeah, that totally depends on how he hits. But you're all over it because, you know, we're both liking guys that have this wide open depth chart, right? Yeah. I mean,
and this is a team that at some point is going to actually go after wide receivers, and whether it's in the draft or some kind of weird trade or a free agent the next year. But at some point, there's going to be a wide receiver on that team. There is no alpha on that team.
Yeah, best wide receiver on that team is probably going to be Swift.
Hockenson.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely, dude. All in on Hockenson this year.
Yeah.
Love that.
Tamari and Terry.
Oh, yeah, sure. Seattle did a little bit of that, too. Looks like they were doing some fishing in the wide receiver pool.
Yep.
Who else did they draft? Because the other guy that they drafted, Cade. Well,
okay.
I'm sorry, didn't draft. I meant UDFA. Cade Johnson, I believe his name is. It's another name that Debbie people liked quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make sure I'm doing it. Yeah, Cade Johnson, South Dakota State, and Terry. Now, Terry, everybody knew that name. All my mocks, dude. I did 60 mocks. Terry was like a third or fourth round pick in every rookie mock pre-draft.
Yeah.
Now UDFA. So, of course, you have a lot of people like saying, hold on a minute. He was a third round, fourth round in my mock. That's somebody I should keep an eye on.
Now he's slipping through. Like, he's still available in that draft that I told you I took Patterson.
Yep. My concern, dude, is just the same reason that we loved the wide receivers being picked up in Detroit is the same reason I don't love these two in Seattle. I mean, I just don't.
These guys are going to take forever to hit.
Feels like forever. It really does. This feels like the definition of chasing something.
Yeah.
You know, oh, Tamari and Terry, like, he's good. Like, never, and all these Debbie people will tell you, he's good. And it's like, I remember, I've already forgotten their names.
I remember those guys I already forgot.
Yeah,
about.
I remember those guys that I've already forgotten their names.
That's the name of the show.
There you go. That's perfect. That is fucking perfect. Yeah, and to be honest, man, like, this is going to be one of those shows where, you know, we're talking highly. I want to reiterate once again, half the battle for these guys is to make the stinking team. We know that, you know, we're talking about them in a light of positivity because they're going to need all the positivity in the world just to make the team. But we're trying to identify guys that are worth stashing, one, and two, have an opportunity to crack that shell of possibly even playing a little bit. Because if they play a little bit, we can get excited about them and hold them a little longer or flip them for something more than we got them for, which in most of these cases are blind bidding dollars, fifth round picks, like pretty late.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
So that's a good name too, for sure. One guy that I want to bring up, and this is going to bring back the closet Eagle fan again, is quarterback Jamie Newman. He really, there's a reason he fell and was undrafted. I think it was a little surprising to most that he was undrafted. It wasn't surprising that he went, you know, that he wouldn't have gone late. But his biggest reason for falling is basically the downward spiral. Like when he started as a freshman and sophomore, he was literally in the Debbie community considered like a good piece at one point. And then the last couple of years, and again, like 2020 is tough. He transferred to Georgia, really down season. That hurt him. But he has like all these traits that you can't teach. The arm strength, mobility. He's very, very strong. Gets away from sacks, pressure. And I just feel like, do we know who Jalen Hurts is yet? No, I'm not saying exactly.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I'm not saying Jamie Newman starts this season. I'm not saying that. But this is a quarterback, and most of us play in super flex. And you're getting him fifth round, right? Probably something like that.
For free, yeah.
Yeah, I think I got him. I think I got him in like maybe it was like probably like if it wasn't like the 410, it was like the, you know, it was the early fifth round, somewhere in that range I got him. And when you're looking there, man, I mean, it's tough. It really is tough. I think I would probably – there was probably a reason I didn't pick a running back, probably because a lot of the ones that we had just mentioned were gone. Maribel, at the time most rookie drafts were going, wasn't even a UDFA yet. So you know, I noticed you picked him in a league I'm in with you after he got picked up. And that was a good move. But Jamie Newman is going into, you know, a depth chart with just Joe Flacco and his bad back and him 52 years old. And when I just don't know if we know who Jalen Hurts is. I like him. I do. But I don't know that I know he's any good. And I don't know that the Eagles don't say after two more years, you know what, this isn't working out. That could happen. Look what they just did to Wentz. So
yeah,
I like Jamie Newman as a stash. He's a quarterback. I think he has enough talent to stick with this team. And if he sticks long enough, he might get looked at by this team. And if he gets looked at and he gets a couple starts, that's a nice fifth round pick. So I wanted to add Jamie Newman to the list just because I feel like being a quarterback, that's a nice stash. Because a quarterback stash can pay off big. We talked about grabbing a third or something like that. But if you get a young quarterback and he gets some starts and he looks good, that can really pay off for you.
Yeah, I love that mention. I do have a few tight ends.
Ooh, you do? I have one tight end and one more wide receiver. Give me one of your tight ends.
Dude, my tight ends are gross.
Okay, Most of them are yours.
Let's start with yours.
All right. So we're all waiting.
I'm guessing yours isn't on mine. That's why, but we'll see.
I think you're probably right. So we're all waiting on Chris Herndon, including the Jets. The Jets picked up a UDFA, Kenny Uboa, out of Ole Miss, who got very overlooked, I think, and maybe underutilized because of another rookie fever favorite, Elijah Moore. And he's definitely more of a wide receiver than a tight end. So he's going to need some grooming. But again, we say it over and over again. All tight ends aren't going to do shit the first couple of years, especially a UDFA. It's a hard hold. Don't get me wrong. He's a developmental guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to hold a guy like this, like you need to do in one league that you mentioned, this is a fun guy to hold. I mean,
yeah.
He's basically a wide receiver playing tight end. And
Ryan Griffin's probably not around for long.
No. And the Jets, I mean, Herndon's a free agent after this year. So it's prove it or gone after this year. We're talking again about 2 or 3 years. So if Uboa's going to play, if Uboa's going to benefit your team by picking him up this year for maybe next year or the following, it's going to be 2 or 3 years out. And the only person I think that he's going to get replaced by is someone drafted in the next 2 years. I'm out on Herndon at this point, but if I can draft Herndon late, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong.
You've seen me do it in an eliminator.
Yeah, you can get him so late right now. Who cares? But you can get him so late for a darn good reason.
Right.
You know, it's just, it hasn't shown up. And I feel like the Jets are looking up. I'm not saying the Jets are going to be good this year, but the timetable could fit Uboa. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hate it. And I like that he's more of a wide receiver than a tight end. And he's going to need to kind of learn the tight end position a little bit and develop. But yeah, that's my tight end.
Yeah. So I'm going to kick mine off with Quinton Morris to Buffalo.
Mm.
This is one that I think that could possibly have the quickest opportunity if he does do well in camp. And it's just because I don't really think they have their tight end settled there, to be honest with you. So
I agree.
Nothing special here. Could be a decent pass catcher, though. And I mean, he was on waivers in our two tight end league.
Sure.
So that's how cheap and free he is. So this is how deep I'm looking. If you have like a taxi spot, I'm guessing that if you're not in a two tight end league, you have better available players on your waivers, quite honestly, than the next couple I'm going to mention. But if you do have roster spots or depth or a taxi you can push them to, take a look at these guys. And another one, same thing, kind of. I don't think it's quite settled in Jacksonville, and that's Luke Farrell. I think that he could come in there and compete for a job, quite honestly. And again, maybe not even make the roster like some of these guys we've talked about today, but I think he's somebody that could compete for a roster spot in a weak tight end room outside of Tim Tebow. And then they just signed Chris Manhertz, you know, but they don't really have a whole lot going on there, honestly.
Yeah. Jacksonville and Buffalo are my two favorite spots for like a Zach Ertz.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I like the Colts too, to be honest.
Oh, with yeah.
You. Just that's to put him cool. back with Wentz.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. I don't hate that.
And then another one, this one would take a little bit more time. He's got some good hands, but went to the Raiders, and that's Matt Bushman. Signed there. He's got decent hands, decent like prospect that could possibly like see a small amount of time this year. That one, these are all guys again though that are dirt cheap. They're like free agents in my two tight end sets, and I've been adding them and just trying to stash them. I didn't even look to see if they're available in my one tight end leagues, to be honest with you. I probably will at some point, but just haven't. So that's how I feel about them. Somebody else, stick with the Raiders really quick, maybe carve out a role, and that's Dylan Stoner. Wide receiver, though. We're back to wide receiver.
Right, right.
But, and this is, you know, we have to see what happens. Ruggs is sounding like he's actually looking pretty good. We got Bryan Edwards, and then obviously we have Waller. And but after that, you know, there could be a job to be had for one of these guys. And I think Dylan Stoner could try to carve out a role as that third or fourth wide receiver. And he's somebody that you can probably go get for free right now in your waivers. All these guys are dirt cheap.
Yeah, and I mean, the stock went up on Edwards and Ruggs just with, you know, the Raiders not drafting a wide receiver. So yeah, the fact that they brought one in as a UDFA, I think you need to look at that, because, you know, it's the Raiders had some needs beyond wide receiver. They had just invested the previous year a first and a third. I believe it was a first and two thirds. They wound up just getting rid of one of the third round wide receivers. Was that Lynn Bowden? Just got rid of him.
Yep.
But they invested some heavy
draft capital. They saw his tattoo work and...
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that was enough. Threw him out on his own island. And so, yeah, it's one of those things where I think you do have to pay attention to that, because they might have just been like, you know what, we can't do this again. We just did it last year. Let's do all these other needs we have, and let's just pick up a free one. Let's pick up a free one afterward that we liked, that we studied, that we, you know, were interested in. And who knows? I mean, dude, you know, I'm probably Bryan Edwards' biggest fan, but who knows, man? I mean, he could be the next N'Keal Harry. Now, all of a sudden, that UDFA player's looking good. So who knows? I mean, it's one of those things. We're all talking about crapshoots here. I'll give you a wide receiver since you went there, and this is another one that I think is a deceiving good landing spot. And I say deceiving because everyone knows Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel are studs. Debo's having some trouble staying on the field, though. I think San Francisco understands that Deebo might have some issues in that regard. They lost or moved on from Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne had a role on this team. Austin Watkins is the guy I'm going to bring up. Austin Watkins. I think with the concerns to Debo's health, the offense, which we know puts these players in great position to succeed, I think he's the number one thing that Austin Watkins is going to do is make this team. And a wide receiver that's going to make this team, already kind of slated in as the wide receiver three.
Yeah.
I'm all in on Austin Watkins. So I feel like that's all that I really need to know. I mean, he's on a good offense, and honestly, I want Deebo to thrive. I love Deebo. I love how tough he is. I love his game. I think he's a perfect fit in San Francisco. I don't want anything bad to happen to Deebo. But if Deebo misses time,
Deebo.
What's that? Oh, I love Ayuk. I like Ayuk more. Yeah, I like Ayuk a lot more. But I shouldn't say a lot. I'm more confident. I'm a lot more confident in Ayuk. I do not like him a lot more.
Yeah, yeah.
I like him more. Like if you ask me to pick one or the other, I'll pick Ayuk. But I think the a lot part really goes to the confidence level. Deebo starting to make me a little nervous with the injury thing. But I think that's also, you know, making San Fran a little nervous. Let's get this Austin Watkins kid. So I wanted to mention his name. He's one of those guys where I just feel like, again, we're attacking those landing spots, those opportunities, those depth charts that we think can be exposed. And I think he makes the team. I would be very, very stunned if Austin Watkins doesn't make the team for San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm with you. You got a couple minutes? We'll do a couple of trades, or did you have somebody else you wanted to mention?
No, they're my big guys. I mean, the only other dude I had was Trevor Grimes. It's another Eagle guy, big body wide receiver, got a decent amount of wiggle for a bigger dude. He was on the same team in Florida with Tony and Pitts, so I feel like he maybe didn't get the same type of. I mean, you're talking about a top four pick and another first round pick that was competing for targets for. So Trevion Grimes, wide receiver, Florida, just to throw another name out there before we hit these trades.
Yeah. And we'll just get into a couple. We don't have a ton of time, and let's not waste time on this one, but a trade I made that I was almost hoping that I know you're going to like my side of this, but I'm going to bring it up still because this is what you can make happen today if you want. And this is feverishly confirmed. Is that weird or validated? Feverishly validated.
Yeah.
No, is that doesn't sound cool.
Feverish stamp of approval.
Stamp of approval.
Yeah. Yeah,
feverishly stamped. It's been feverishly stamped. So I traded away Cam Akers and a 2023 third, and I got back Dobbins and a 2023 second. And I know how you feel because I asked you if you preferred Dobbins or Akers, and you said Dobbins, and I said me too. I was hoping you felt different so we could try to convince the other of the side on this show we're doing right in this moment. So I forget who it was, but somebody was kind of like, go out, go trade away and get Dobbins plus and thank me later. And I was like, huh, can you though? Just because I know how I feel. And I was like, because I prefer Dobbins. So I agreed with his take, but I was like, can you really do that? So then I quickly decided to try it, and it was accepted that quickly. So yes, you can do that, folks. And yes, I like Cam Akers, okay? This is not Cam Akers hate, but I do like Dobbins more. I believe he is going to thrive this year in that offense. I'm super excited about Dobbins, and I finally have two shares, Finero.
That's awesome. You're not getting my share in Predators, though. I noticed you didn't even try. With that being said, I do think it's very, very close for me. I think when I texted you back, I took a minute.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. Yeah.
Yeah, I took a minute. I looked at it.
I agree,
And I really tried to weigh it out without any context. The good thing is, like, it's running back for running back.
I got that second, too.
Yeah, because you didn't give me the picks. So, and honestly, until just now, I didn't even know there were picks. I assumed
you didn't even know there was a trade. I just asked you who you liked.
Yeah, exactly. I assumed it was for a reason, but not necessarily a trade.
I wanted to fight with you about it.
Picking a fight. Yeah, it's
and then you liked the same thing I liked, so we couldn't fight.
That ruined it. Dave, unlike our
Dave, maybe we can fight about this some other time.
Unlike our Burrow Herbert debate or fight, that was a classic.
I like Akers a lot. Yeah, that was a classic. You guys should go back and listen to that. I was uncomfortable.
We were both pretty uncomfortable. I had no idea how it had gotten quite that heated. You wanted to fight me. It was me. It was definitely me. I definitely escalated that. But yeah, dude, I don't know, man. I'm absolutely in on Dobbins this year. Like, there's no doubt about that. But I also just really love Cam Akers.
Me too.
So it's such a tough thing. So
yeah, luckily, I wasn't looking to sell him. Yeah, it was more like experimental as well, you know.
Yeah, you got the pick, so you know you got a second out of it. I'd give two shits about the third.
At whatever, 24-24-24. 12-team super flex PPR. Start one running back, and you have five flex spots. Tight end premium, half point tight end premium, half point first down. George Kittle or Travis Etienne, and a 2022 mid first. I think this is an interesting trade you found here, Finero. How do you feel about this?
So
let me ask you a question. Do you care about that half point tight end premium much?
Not a lot. Not a lot. I mean, I have to consider it, but you know, because Kittle's like a top three tight end. So like that for me just kind of carries. Like, it would be different if you were looking at a guy.
So I mean, what is this? Like, what's the PP? Is it so does the tight end get 1.5 actually, and then the other ones just get point? Yep. Okay, point per.
Yeah, that's the most common tight end premium. You see.
I hear you. Yeah. Five. Okay. Yeah,
it should have been written differently. I agree, but that it has to be that way. I can't imagine that it's a PPR league and that the tight end only gets half a point per catch. It's got to be the premium piece, but and I'm also curious about the first down part. Like, I don't know if that is that tight end exclusive. I doubt it.
I'm guessing that's every position that gets a first down.
I think it is too. And this is going to be the pick for me at the end in the pick, because a mid first in Superflex is an awful nice pick. Kittle, you're asking me after a year where Kittle barely played. Where Kittle has experienced injuries. I think that's, I mean, now is Kittle still a top three in almost any dynasty ranking? Yeah, he is. But I'm going to take the RB and I'm going to take the middle of the first. Yeah. This was tough for me though, because to give up an asset like Kittle, you have to think twice.
Right.
For sure.
And ETN still yet to be seen even. But I mean, you could even Kittle and ETN right now, you could argue in a startup are going in similar areas. So getting that 2022 first.
Yeah,
for kind of free to nothing. I'm with you here, and
yeah,
I don't feel great about it, but I'm probably on that side too.
Yeah, And it's, yeah, I don't feel great about it. It's probably the way to put it. And, you know, I think there's obviously an opportunity for Etienne's value to go up. I know we're not super high a whole year in advance on this 2022 class, but there's some quarterbacks coming out again.
Yep.
So I feel like if there are, you know, more than a handful of quarterbacks, that's going to push down some significant talent. Or, I mean,
you can use that first to.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
I trade for a quarterback right now.
If this pick with it being a 12-team super flex, I just feel like pushes the needle for me.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't have the context. We don't know if he has no tight ends after that. Like, I would love to know his team makeup. Or her team makeup. I don't know. Motown Matt. I would love to know Motown Matt's team makeup to know, like, hey, does he have Goddard as well?
Right.
Okay, yeah. That's a little easier to make this move. Tight end premium. If Kittle's my only tight end, I literally have no one after him. It's a little harder to make this move.
Are you still on the Travis Etienne and the 2022 mid first side?
Yes.
Okay. So
sorry, that was confusing.
No, I don't think it was. So this next one is, which wide receiver would you rather have? It's not actually a trade, but we could look at it that way. And this is from Eric Michaels. And the wide receivers are CeeDee Lamb or Ja'Marr Chase.
I really liked this one.
Yep.
Because I bet I'm
easy for me, though.
Oh, it is. Okay. I think it's easy for me, too. But I'm saying easy because of, like, my prejudice. My prejudice is always, if I seen it, I want it. If I don't know what it is yet, I want to want it. You know what I mean?
So yeah, CeeDee Lamb
has shown me plenty to get excited about.
I agree.
And I'm just going to go with the known quantity here. I don't know. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase in this class is the closest to the real thing. I like his landing spot. I like his quarterback. Don't know if I love the team.
I'm going with Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh, there we go. And you said it was easy.
It is. Just, you know, CeeDee Lamb, he did do really good. And he's there with Amari Cooper, who may or may not go away. I don't think this team's going to be playing from behind as much this year. Probably won't have to air it out quite as much. I don't think Dak is going to have a 5,000-yard season. I think all that's a mute point, though. It's not even important. The real reason I am taking Ja'Marr Chase here is because of the value.
Oh, no.
Quite honestly, and just the way what I feel like I can go do with Ja'Marr Chase right now today. And honestly, I want a couple shares of Ja'Marr Chase. I believe in this product, actually. So if I get stuck with him, I'm really A-okay with it. I think he's going to be good with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. And I don't think we've had a prospect come out like this the last few years, and we've had some damn good prospect. The only wide receiver I'm not giving you from last year's rookie class for Ja'Marr Chase is Justin Jefferson.
I wouldn't. I don't know too many people who would. I just went to DLF's ADP, and I have CeeDee Lamb at 11 overall.
Wow. Wide receiver. And,
yeah. No. 11 overall. We're talking all players. CeeDee Lamb, 11th overall.
Is that a one quarterback? I mean,
that is. Let me switch it.
As long as we know what it is.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that. And then I got Ja'Marr Chase down there at 21.
Oh, wow. I'm sort of surprised.
Yeah. I was curious, dude. I'm surprised, too. I thought it would be A, closer. B, I didn't think CeeDee Lamb would be that high. And I didn't know what I would find. I didn't look this up to be right. I looked this up.
I think
and
I did vote
right
on this, though, and I voted the Ja'Marr Chase side. And I feel really great about both these wide receivers, quite honestly.
Yeah, me too. That's why I like it. It's forcing you to really pick between two great options.
Let's wrap it up with this next one. I think this is a good one, too. This is kind of interesting. I'm curious to see where you went with this. So this is from Will at Koopakai. There is an A in there.
Yeah.
So this is Devontae Smith or Tyler Lockett and a 2022 second.
This one was kind of easy for me.
Is it?
It was. This one's easier for me than the last one.
It's so weird to me that on the last one you took the proven production, but on this one you're taking Devontae Smith.
Why, when I said it's easy, did you know where I was going? That one does not equal the other.
Am I wrong?
No. I just want to know how you came to that conclusion.
I don't know how I know these magical things, Finero.
Yeah, and if any of our listeners also came to that conclusion, you are all wizards, because I didn't really give anything away. I just simply said this one's a little easier. Maybe just know I like them. That's probably what it is. You know I like Devonta Smith. How much
it
did
was
we get
the twinkle in your eye.
How often do we get a chance to talk about the Tyler Lockett rookie class?
You stood up to show me that you really didn't have shorts on, and that's when I knew what direction you were pointing.
Wow. All right. I thought I didn't stand up that tall. All right. Yeah. Devonta Smith is my pick here, and Twitter agrees 54.4% to 45.6%.
Yeah. And man, so I'm taking Tyler Lockett in that second in this one.
Yeah. Yeah, but dude, Tyler Lockett, where did he finish last year?
I mean, what, wide receiver 10 to 14,
yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, so so he's like at worst, a high-end wide receiver too.
And I'm just getting a 2022 second, which is what, where some people ended up drafting Devonta Smith when he fell?
Just signed a huge contract. Just signed it.
Yep.
He's with Rust, and as much as people want to say they don't throw the ball around there, last 2 years he's been top 10 in pass attempts. I think that's an old narrative. And I believe the whole going out for Julio Jones, and I think his complaining, Russell Wilson's complaining was heard. You don't hear about him griping anymore. I think they're going to let him cook even a little bit more. They were going to see even more. So I get it. I really do. I think I'm just going with the age thing here at wide receiver. I think I want the young guy.
Yeah, Tyler Lockett is one of my targets for like those value dynasty wide receivers this year. So.
Oh, shit. Oh, no, wait,
might be a little bit biased just because of the price he's at. Like,
is he your last year's Keenan Allen?
Stephon Diggs? I think he's the community's like this year's Tyler or Diggs. And I don't think the difference is like Lockett isn't going to have a value boost or a huge production boost. He's just a freaking value for what he's going to continue to do. So he's closer to Keenan Allen than he would be Stephon Diggs. He's on the same team, but he's going to continue to produce. He's not going to get to a point where all of a sudden he's worth more though. Same with Jarvis Landry, Cooper Kupp, those guys, those are your value wide receivers. Nothing's really going to change for them. They're just going to keep being good. They're going to keep being consistent, and they're going to be most importantly undervalued. Underappreciated. You can go get them for Devonta Smith and add to it. and you know, I'm just not as high on Smith as you, so it's kind of a good example, you know. Yeah. But I know that we said that was gonna be the last one, but the next one's similar. We'll just end on this. We got to get out of here. Devonta Smith or Rashad Bateman and Michael Gallup. This is a very interesting one to me here. I don't like anybody involved in this trade. So for me, I'm taking the Bateman and Gallup side because I don't like anybody.
And you get two guys.
Everybody
on the one side.
Has a Gallup person. Everybody has a Bateman person in their league. Sure. I just have more pieces to move on from and get pieces that I actually like.
Fair enough.
So there's enough Bateman people, and what a interesting trade. They didn't even tag us. They tagged Dynasty Trades HQ, some smart guys, don't get me wrong. And they tagged My Fantasy League. If you tag at Swagzilla0G, I promise he'll be there. Because this only has one retweet. So, and
yeah, see?
And I'm just saying, that means if it was from one of those people, it was only 50% of them.
It had one retweet, and what was it, like 97 total votes or something like that? Yeah, yep. 97 total. That's not good. That's not, Go send that over to Swagzilla0G.
Or Finero, but I promise I'll be there. You can DM me anytime.
I might be missing at the moment.
All jokes aside, I mean, you tagged good people. I bet you later got retweets from all of them. My Fantasy League helps a ton of people out with retweets out there. So, I mean, no shade. Dynasty Trades HQ. We know Sipes and Jeremy and Shane Well. Friends of the show, so no shade.
But freaking
hit me up.
Tyler Lockett's 29.
He's getting up there, you know, but Keenan Allen too. Just like last year, they're going to continue to put points into your lineup. Is Devonta Smith going to do that?
No, I mean, Tyler Lockett's going to kick the shit out of him this year, but we'll see. We got all those wide receivers, UDFAs, that are going to steal Tyler Lockett's job.
Yeah. Go, you know, so get some production out of Tyler Lockett and then go
while you can trade Maureen him Terry. For
Jarvis Landry plus.
Yep, there you go.
That's your moves to make. Shake and bake. He is. Oh, you have something to say?
Landry or Chase Edmonds?
Oh, Landry.
Yeah, I can make that happen right now.
I'd do that, dude.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna.
He's so consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
Any final thoughts from the Feverish this evening?
Only one, and that is this time of year last year, we were wondering if there was going to be an NFL season. How wonderful is it to be maybe impatient? Like, I would love it to happen next month, but it's not gonna. We're gonna have some time, but we'll keep you company here on Rookie Fever.
I enjoy this time. I'm sick of people saying, like, oh, gosh, I wish we had a game. Like, you know, I get it. Like, every time people are talking about stupid crap, people are like, oh, I wish we had a game. But you don't have to listen to all that stupid crap, guys.
No, you just listen to this show.
Plenty of places to still get decent advice from without listening to Absolutely. The stupid crap.
Go make some trades.
Who are you?
Who am I? Mike Federo, the Feverish Federo? I know where you can find me. You can find me at Aardvark TV. I'll retweet your trades.
Yes. I am at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever. Trying to think of something funny to say. Dave's not here. Dave would say something funny right now.
Yeah, he's gotten good with that.
Dave, what would you say?
What do you think he's doing at prom right now?
He's probably recording a different show.
So he doesn't find any Tide balls.